In life, we have two choices, to experience or to exist. Every week, each of us makes that choice. To either seek a better way to live or to get by. Walk alongside me each week on the Strive, Seek, Find podcast as we continue to seek our own brilliant future.
I may be screaming, "Get off my lawn!" just a bit this week. Welcome to the Strive, Seek, Find podcast. I'm your host, Chance Whitmore. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. Well, that is if you're listening to these in real time. Now, as we prepare to turn the corner into a new year, it's got me thinking. It's now the time of year of new year, new beginnings. Thousands, if not millions of people are just days away from declaring their intent to change. Change something about themselves, change something about their lives through the traditional New Year's resolution. For most of this ends up being a complete crock of crap. Not because change is bad, quite the opposite in fact, but because what we think of as change and what change is are two very different things. Now let's get started. I had always just assumed that the tradition of a New Year's resolution was some sort of odd 19th or 20th century invention. It definitely fits our motif. Turns out I was wrong. According to several sources, the origin of the New Year's resolution goes back about 4,000 years, to the Babylonians, no less. There was a new year, which occurred around March on their calendar, and the New Year's resolution was some sort of way to garner support from their gods. The time frame was eventually switched to January, first by Julius Caesar and later on by a pope, but it remains there in place to this day. This concept of New Year not just being a time of renewal, but a time of change and fresh start. In other words, we have an historically long connection with promising to make changes in our lives as we begin another trip around the sun. And there's nothing really wrong with that. We should all be striving to make ourselves more than we are, in whatever way you choose. But for perspective's sake, let's think about failure rate. Or as I like to call it, the 2 weeks after New Year's at the gym. I see it as a pretty good guide to the impact of New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not mocking these people for trying to do well, to make changes, because it's always a struggle. But you get a very good visual representation of what's happening, and I'm sure you've seen it. The only place more crowded than the return line at the clothing store the day after Christmas is the gym the week after New Year's. And just a few weeks later, with gym memberships firmly in hand, and the gym firmly in the black for the rest of the year, the numbers fade. People give up, sore, injured, and too busy. I'm going to say it again. My point is not to mock people who are trying to better themselves, because we all know that failure is a part of the learning process. My point is, for most people, the New Year's resolution has become the adult equivalent of wishing on a star or praying to win the lotto as a method of making positive life changes. Hope is not a strategy. And goals or resolution without plans behind them are just a wish and a prayer. So what I'm saying is, make your changes when you're ready, not at some trendy time. Know your action steps and work to make your future brilliant. Because change at the best of times is hard. Don't hamstring yourself with a crap process. So go forth, set your goals, if it's your time. But take it to the next level and set your action plan as well. And one more time, being truly prepared to make a change with mindset, with planning, and with execution is much more important to success than the instant you choose to start. You don't build a barn on a whim. You dig out the building plans and get the right materials before you start. Shoutouts. A very different sort of shout-out today. Last week, the first brew pub opened in my hometown. Wanted to shout out Dan, one of the owners, for making my first visit to White Dog Brewing in Caldwell an amazing one. If you're local, check it out. Great aesthetics will make it a tremendous addition to the Indian Creek Plaza. If you're not paying attention. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's one I've avoided talking about because I didn't want to give it even a little airtime. The number of mainstream discussions regarding the idea of civil war in the United States is a disturbing political trend. Not only because it shows just how close to the surface the cracks are in our society, but because the number of people who are capitalizing on this idea for their own ends. Step back, take a look, because the alternative is unthinkable. Worth mentioning. So often, it's our tendency to believe that somehow we are smarter or superior to our ancestors due to our technological prowess. I love learning about how innovative our ancestors were when it came to manipulating their environment. In this case, it comes from Diane Selkirk via the BBC, an underwater mystery on Canada's coast. The article deals with archaeologists rediscovering the Canadian First Peoples' complex network of fish traps, which showed not just amazing engineering, but a deep understanding of the environment and animal behavior. There's a ton to unpack in the article, but the acknowledgement and restoration of some of these aquacultural environments is an incredible story. Please check it out. I placed the link to the article both in the description and at chancewhitmore.com.
And that concludes this edition of Strive, Seek, Find. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode or would just like to support the podcast, here are a few ways you can do it. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. It will help bring more listeners to the podcast. If that isn't your style, you can buy me a coffee or purchase some merch. Links are in the podcast description. Finally, if you have ideas or feedback, please reach out to the Strive Seek Find page on Facebook or to @ChanceWhitmore5 on Twitter. Until next time, keep seeking your own brilliant future. Have a great day.